Caustic Soda is made possible in part by the Howard P. Lovecraft Foundation, the Corporation for Morbid Podcasting, and listeners like you. The anniversary for some horrible disaster is coming up, and what better way is there to say, I remembered, than the gift of a Caustic Soda t-shirt? Visit causticsodapodcast.com/support and simply click on the I'm a Good Consumer button.
Oh man, I gotta take a Gigantopithecus. I'm Joe Foljam.
Get your filthy ears onto us, you damn dirty listeners.
I'm Kevin Leeson.
Now 100% more Bokito proof, it's Caustic Soda!
Bam!
Apes.
Apes.
Now you say apes. Good. Apes are consisted of various groups. Well, we'll talk about the interesting ones. Because gibbons, I think, are apes. But who cares about gibbons?
I care about gibbons.
Do you care about gibbons?
Yeah. I really like the Brothers Gibbons.
I don't know what that is.
Dole.
Is that a musical group?
The Bee Gees? Brothers Gibbons?
Yeah. We're Maurice definitely Gibbon? Not talking about them. Because what do they have to do with caustic soda?
Isn't a gibbon just a type of baboon?
Nope. And baboons are actually monkeys, not apes. Apes are gorillas, chimpanzees, and orangutans.
Rhymes with orangutan?
And gibbons.
And humans.
Yeah, I guess so.
An ape is any member of the Hominoidae superfamily of primates, including humans.
Good work. Clarification on that.
So far, humans are the only ape I've had sex with.
Yeah, so far.
Yeah.
I'm
not ruling anything out. I just don't run in the same circles.
You should join the circus, my friend.
It sounds like it's time for a road trip.
To Gorilla Island? A road trip to Gorilla Island?
I'm excited.
Is there a road to the island?
No.
Let's cancel that then.
Gorilla, the word origin of, comes from 1847 by U.S. missionary Thomas Savage, called them troglodytes gorills.
Hold on a sec. The guy who coined this term,
his last name is
Savage.
Savage.
Yeah. Wow.
From Greek gorillae, which is plural of the name given to wild, hairy people in the Greek translation of Carthaginian navigator Hanno's account of his voyage along the coast of Africa, circa 500 BC.
So wait, Carthaginians were gorillas first?
I guess so.
What is modern Carthage? Is that Libya? What is that?
Good question. Let's get back to that. Pass.
So wait, Carthaginians were gorillas before gorillas?
No. The explorer was Carthaginian.
Ah, okay.
He was a navigator.
All right.
And he made an account of his voyage along the coast of Africa. And he said, these guys are totally gorillas.
Gorillas.
These hairy men.
And then Mr. Savage recoined the phrase for modern use.
And then in 1738, their chimpanzee comes from a Bantu language of Angola, which chimpanz basically means ape. So. And orangutan literally means man of the woods.
Now, why do we call it orangutan? Is that just anglicization?
We don't call it orangutan because there's no G on the end, and there never has been, sir.
No one's ever said orangutan?
They have.
Oh, they've said it. They've been wrong.
Oh, it's like saying aluminium?
No, that just means you're British.
Yeah, but that's mispronounced. It's mispronounced. There's no extra I.
It's mispronounced.
That's totally meta. I just did that on purpose.
So let's talk about these guys wherever we feel.
Okay,
we're not going to have a gorilla section and a chimpanzee section.
Well, do you know what a group of apes is called?
A troop.
Or?
A banana. A banana of apes.
A troop or a shrewdness?
A shrewdness of apes?
A shrewdness of apes.
What? Because they're smart?
Ironically, a group of shrews is called an apeness of shrews. No, that's not true.
It might be true. We don't know.
Not until the shrews episode.
Tonight on Caustic Soda.
Shrews. How big can silverback gorillas get? Who knows?
1,000 pounds.
I'm going to agree with him.
You're both way too high.
Oh, you get 650.
Occasionally a silverback of over 5'11".
Why, that's my height.
And 510 pounds.
Why, that's my... Wait a minute.
Has been recorded in the wild.
Oh, okay.
But that's a big...
ain't so bad.
It's a big ape. And they got serious hand strength, right?
Oh, they're huge.
Very
they're
grippy.
Strong. They're very strong.
Very grippy.
As you well know. Grippy, yeah. Yes.
Like, this is something I've always wondered. Why are apes so strong? Like, chimps are much smaller than us, but they talk about their wild strength and how much they'll damage a person.
I have a chimp story. Anyone hear my chimp story?
Does it answer Joe's question?
Yes, it does.
All right.
Well, it deals with it.
Okay.
It doesn't give an explanation as to why, but it talks to how strong they are. I worked on a show called The Lone Gunman. It was a spinoff of The X-Files.
Yeah, yeah.
I was a production assistant on that show. And we had chimpanzees, and they were supposed to play ultra smart, and then they would computer animate their mouths to make them look like they were talking with regular conversation and whatnot.
Really? This was in The Lone Gunman?
This was in The Lone Gunman. Wow. We had like four or five chimps on set.
You sure you weren't working on MVP?
Most valuable primate.
I didn't work on MVP, but I know a lot of people who did. Anyway, I got a lot of MVP stories too, actually. So these chimps, one of my jobs was they had to be in a room completely separate to themselves. And we had this thing called the Ring of Fire because chimps don't play well in front of cameras if they're cold. And it was like December. We're shooting this thing. And it was snowing outside. So we had to port around like 10 giant electric heaters and ring them with the heaters to keep the monkeys
keep
warm
the
so
apes.
That they
would apes
you keep the chimpanzees warm so that they would perform in front of the camera. And at one point in time we had a door, and it wasn't a locking door, it was like, because we were in some old hospital, so it was a swinging door, right? So they could come out anytime. We couldn't lock them into the room.
Yeah.
And I'm standing in front of the door
and
to
they
make
can
sure.
open doors.
Absolutely,
there's no question.
So the chimp trainer comes up to me and says, you stand in front of this door and make sure nobody goes into that room, because if
there's a bunch of hot apes in there.
There's a bunch of hot apes in there. And if one of them, they're a pack. So if one of them attacks you, all of them will attack you, and they will tear that person to pieces.
Yes.
And then
and
he
we'll
walked
get to
away.
That later.
And then he walked away. And I looked back at this swinging door that swings both ways with no locks on it. And I'm like, so I'm about a foot and a half away from these bastards. These little ornery motherfuckers. That and at the end of the day, they would hand us a giant garbage bag full of dirty diapers and
awesome.
Say, take these out to the dumpster for us.
I think the proper response to you being told to guard that dangerous door is...
a little trickle of sweat on your brow.
Yeah, yeah. Don't show fear.
Exclamation mark over your head.
Don't show fear.
But I'm wondering why they're so strong, because you never see apes work out. You know, like...
They swing from branches all day, some of them.
Do they? I don't see gorillas do that. No. Gorillas, like...
And their arms are extra
long.
They
just sit around a lot. And like, they do what I do, except they don't play video games while they're doing it.
I guess it has to do with metabolism.
I guess so.
Their arms are really long.
Perhaps you should engage in some sort of experiment where you inject ape hormones into you and become some supervillain.
Ape man.
Yeah, I'm sure that's
going to
work.
All I wanted was the strength of a gorilla, a silverback gorilla.
The proportional strength of a silverback gorilla. Why, at 510 pounds, he can lift... twice as much as me.
I would dare say maybe even more than twice as much.
Now, we all know from seeing movies that gorillas beat their chests.
Yes. Well, they have like some sort of kind of hollow cavity in their chest or something that carries sound even further,
it's,
isn't it?
Yeah, because listening to it in nature documentaries, and I watched Gorillas in the Mist the other day, it's quite loud.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
It apparently can be heard for over a mile.
Yeah, there's some biological thing going on in there that actually amplifies the beating sound.
You know, whenever that's really just dominance assertion. Of they also
that's all alpha male stuff.
Scream and break branches and
they'll do false charges too.
Yes, another thing I learned from watching Gorillas in the Mist: if an ape is charging you, never run.
Just stand there and die.
Just stand there and pee your pants.
Well, it's like is that the hippopotamuses are the same way?
No, hippopotamuses will fucking kill you.
Yeah.
Do not spread that rumor to just
no. They sit false there charge whenever. Too. They false charge too. I had a buddy of mine who was on a safari, and the guy said, don't run away. It'll chase you down. You can't run away from it because it can go like 50 kilometers an hour.
Is that right?
Yeah.
More people die from hippos than from like tigers and lions.
And sharks.
And sharks, I'm guessing, sure. But in Africa, rather.
Chimpanzees, on the other hand,
they
are not as large as gorillas.
No.
As we all know.
What?
No. But they can be very aggressive.
They go in packs and can tear you to pieces, evidently, according to chimp trainers. There was a big-time famous chimp trainer in Hollywood, and he had this chimpanzee he'd raised from very small, and it basically turned into his pet.
Yeah.
And he'd gotten too ornery, because as they get older, they get ornery.
Yeah.
And he'd gotten too ornery to work on set anymore.
They're not domesticated. They become socialized, but you can't domesticate a wild ape.
Absolutely. And so he'd become too ornery to work on set. So this guy, basically, he'd had him for 20 years or something like that, and he became his personal pet. And he would like go out with him. Right. And I guess he was driving along one day. His chimp was sitting in the passenger seat, and the chimp just went mad cow disease on him and attacked him in the middle of a ride and bit his fingers off and bit his nose off, which evidently when they're in battle, those are the first things they go for, because the nose is, you know, if you bite another chimp's nose off, it's a dominance thing.
Well.
And then your fingers, you take your fingers off, then you can't.
You're not tearing off anything except when you're.
Yeah. You can't eat bananas or attack back or whatever. So yeah, so this guy who's still like a monkey trainer in Hollywood has a prosthetic nose and has like all the fingers on one hand bitten off.
Got to get back on that horse. Got to get back on that ape.
Yeah, somebody, a friend of mine actually worked on set with him, and it was kind of freaky. This guy with no nose and fake nose and no fingers on one hand. And then he comes with chimps and is like working with them on set. And he's like, oh, how did that happen? Oh, a chimp did it. Doesn't instill confidence in his training ability, but he still works.
So if the trainer gets attacked by apes, what are my chances?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Oh, I should be able to stop him before he gets two fingers. Don't worry about it. The two is the most fingers
you
he'll
have
get.
You have the other hand. You could totally poke him in the eye or something.
Yeah, but chimps are smart. They'll learn to do the block.
They'll do the Three Stooges.
But chimps do, in fact, go out in targeted hunting raids on lower primates, such as the red colobus. And I've seen an example of this on BBC's Planet Earth series.
What's a red colobus?
It's a monkey.
Ah, not an ape.
But they'll
and monkeys are considered lower primates than apes? All monkeys are considered lower primates than apes?
Certainly by the apes.
Apparently, from doing raids.
But I'm assuming the chimpanzee didn't write that article.
Difficult to say at this point.
The spelling does seem a little too good for a chimp.
Yeah, maybe a little less crayon than they would normally employ.
But basically the scene, which I recommend everyone watch, because it's very interesting and horrific.
Will we post it on the website?
If we can find it, yes, and I'm sure we probably can.
CausticSodaPodcast.com.
Thank you. David Attenborough's there talking about the chimps and how they're languishing about and eating berries and whatnot. And then suddenly one of them makes a noise and they decide to all come down from the trees and stalk across the forest silently. Then they find some monkeys and they attack them and it's horrible. And they eat them.
They eat them?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Wow. Okay. When you said raid, I thought they were going to steal their bananas or something. No, they actually...
No, they go in and they kill...
They kill the colobus and they eat them.
I'm sorry, I just had this amazing Seven Samurai vision of the red colobus. Is that what they
yeah.
were? The red colobus finding out that the chimpanzees are going to raid, and so they they start calling in for other primates.
They hire some bush babies,
better at fighting, and bring them in to help defend the village.
We only have these berries to pay you with.
I guess because it's an ape attacking monkey, it's not considered cannibalistic.
No, us eating chimps is not cannibalism. It's just kind of dangerous and gross.
Danger.
So let's move on to the vital statistics of the orangutan.
Okay.
This is the only Asian ape. Males are twice as large as females, and they also have these facial discs, you've seen those?
Oh, yeah.
The big fatty tissue on the cheeks.
Yeah. Very weird.
If two dominant males meet, they prefer to fake that they do not see each other, but sometimes they will fight violently and noisily.
It's like human males.
Yeah. And the result can, in many cases, be the death of one of them due to the wounds provoked by their huge canines.
An ape with huge canines. And I'm assuming that means not pets.
Sorry, what?
Canines. You didn't sick a couple dogs the other orangutan?
The orangutan's got a couple of pit bulls at the end of it.
Exactly.
Don't fight with me. These huge canines will tear you to pieces.
The facial disc reflects and heads the emitted sounds. That's what it's for, in case you're wondering.
Which emitted?
The emitted sounds from roaring and grunts and long howls.
Oh, so that's their biological amplifier. Mm-hmm. Big into amplification, the apes.
Sound. In the jungle, with branches, pretty much got sound.
Need to carry.
Yeah.
So what's our amplification system, if we're related?
You're talking into one. It's a microphone.
Ingenuity.
We're louder than all the apes.
And here's something interesting about the orangutan. When the dominant male dies, his successor experiences sudden changes. In a few months, he grows from 110 pounds to 240 pounds.
What?
The facial disc appears, and he turns extremely aggressive. And he can now emit the typical roar of the dominant males.
When the orangutan dies?
Yeah, when the alpha orangutan.
So did it ever happen that a bunch of guys in the same, what are they called, the same shrewdness? Maybe a bunch of them think that they're the top dog now, and they all changed simultaneously?
No.
And they duel to the death, maybe?
I think there's probably a tier system of dominances.
Probably.
Dominancy.
And as dominance I said, if two dominant males meet, they prefer to pretend they don't see each other.
But I thought that was dominant males of like separate shrewdnesses, shrewd and eye.
I don't know. We're going to have to get an expert on to talk about that.
Anybody out there in Caustic Soda Land know anything about orangutans?
Give us a call. Caustic Soda Land? No, thank you.
Caustic Soda World.
It's a new board game. I'm working on it.
It's a world of gross. It's a world of goo.
Let's now turn to the orangutan's close relative, extinct.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
This one's huge.
The Gigantopithecus.
Gigantopithecus.
Which lived 5 million to 100,000 years ago in India, southern China, and Vietnam. Largest ape ever.
Ooh.
10 feet tall.
Wow.
1,200 pounds.
Wow.
How was it discovered?
Fossils.
That's, I would have, I mean, 100,000 years ago? Yeah.
The Chinese medicine community was using their teeth for their various panaceas.
Oh, like digging up the fossils and taking their teeth?
Well, they just, well, wherever they find the teeth, but they, you know, they weren't, hey, where did these teeth come from? No, they're just magic ape teeth. Let's use them.
Magic
drugs.
Giant That's ape teeth.
Bizarre. I would but like to know the timeline on that.
Yeah, but eventually someone realized, hey, these are not teeth we've ever seen before.
Did a little research, looked into it, peeled back the gums, so to speak.
And these guys probably inhabited bamboo forests since its fossils are found alongside those of extinct ancestors of the panda.
Oh, okay.
So most evidence points to Gigantopithecus being a plant eater.
As opposed to a panda eater, which is why they'd be found alongside one another.
Exactly.
Ooh, the murderous panda wiped out the Gigantopithecus.
That could be.
Did I just break news right there?
You may have.
It's better than breaking wind, I guess.
That's why pandas won't screw. They're so sad the Gigantopithecus is gone. Oh, I miss you, Gigantopithecus. I can't make love to my wife now.
You were so tasty.
Our pinup is a picture of Bill Munn, who's kind of a sculptor and maker of models. He created a bipedal version of Giganto.
It kind of looks like Harry from Harry and the Hendersons.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's a very Bigfoot kind of. What is that, somebody in a suit, or is that like a full model?
I think that's a full model. Yeah,
yeah, just basically a statue.
Yeah,
although he put the arm in kind of a hugging way, yeah, so everybody like- can sort of sidle in next to him, get the picture with him. I thought a Gigantopithecus likes to hug.
Torin, next thicket's costume for you, Gigantopithecus costume.
That's a good idea. Everyone will just say, hey, nice Bigfoot costume.
Yeah.
And then I'll go.
This is our new song. It's called Gigantopithecus.
Nice.
Da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
We just wrote the music there for you.
You can have that one for free.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. So let's talk about Gargantua.
Gargantua.
He was a famous captive lowland gorilla.
In King Kong fashion?
Well, kind of. He lived from 1929 to 1949 and was credited with saving the Ringling Brothers Circus from bankruptcy.
So he lived, like, period? Like, that's as long as apes live? Or did he just live in the Ringling Brothers Circus?
That was the date of his birth to the date of his death.
Oh, I thought apes would live longer than that.
They might in the wild.
Do we know?
Apes are not known for their adaptiveness to
captivity.
Captivity, certainly the gorillas. They have been said, and this is not a scientific quote, that they have died of loneliness.
Ah.
And in fact, another ape, a female ape, was introduced into Gargantua's habitat, which is probably a cage at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he wasn't having any of that. There was no nookie going on.
Okay, so
maybe he was gay.
Gorillas are long-lived and may survive for as long as 40 years in the wild.
Okay,
so it's not too bad, actually, for
captivity.
But he was given to Captain Arthur Phillips as a gift from missionaries in Africa. The captain was fond of him and called him Buddy. One sailor, however, drunk and seeking revenge on the captain's strictness, threw nitric acid in Buddy's face.
What?
The attack almost blinded him and left both mental and physical scars, leading to much more aggressive behavior.
Well, I would imagine somebody throws acid in your face, I would get aggressive too.
So the captain gave Buddy to a wealthy eccentric who looked after sick animals in Brooklyn. And plastic surgery was actually
performed
on the ape,
okay,
on the scar, leaving Buddy with a permanent sneer.
No, okay.
And the wealthy eccentric was known to drive around Brooklyn with Buddy dressed in clothes in the passenger seat. This behavior backfired, however, in 1937. Buddy, frightened by thunder, broke out of his cage and climbed into bed with his mother for comfort. He was about 460 pounds at the time.
Was it less mothering and more smothering?
Exactly. So at this point, Buddy was sold to the Ringling Brother Circus.
So basically,
where he was billed as the largest and fiercest gorilla ever brought before the eyes of civilized man and the world's most terrifying living creature.
Was he the...
most terrifying living creature.
Yeah. Well, he does have a permanent sneer.
Okay, would you rather be attacked by a shark or a gorilla?
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
I mean, shark is more terrifying.
I'm going to have to go with gorilla. I would rather be attacked by the gorilla because he would probably, if I were to curl into a little ball, like kind of just let me go and beat me a little bit. But once a shark gets his teeth in you, you're missed.
From our shark episode, from Shark Attack, our episode number one of Caustic Soda,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
We learned that sharks generally, they bite you once as a tester, realize you're not what they're looking for, and spit you out.
Yeah. How many times does a gorilla bite you?
I don't know, but he could pummel you with his giant ham fists for days upon days, right? Okay.
Unless he's been trained in the ninja arts, he can hit me and I'll cry and fall into a ball and then hopefully he'll stop. Whereas the shark will come back for more. And after I get bitten by the shark, all his buddies are going to smell my blood in the water. And
certainly, the shark is more terrifying because I'm out of my environment. Right?
You're out of your element.
I'm out of my. Leeson. I'm in his world, right? Whereas the gorilla, and I live in the same world, and so maybe there's a comfort zone there. So
you live in the jungle mountains of Africa.
Well, you know, I'm on my 2 feet. I can maybe run, right? Maybe he
don't do it.
He'd be a fat.
Don't run.
How fast can gorillas move?
Faster than me.
That's for sure.
Faster than Kevin.
I think they're just sprinters, though, aren't they? Like, couldn't you just get a good jog going and they'd give up?
Maybe it's
They get 460 pounds to carry
maybe
around.
Maybe it's Gargantua, who's been stuck in a tiny little cage for 20 years, and you know, he's not so limber.
Should we change being attacked to being in a boxing match with a boxing ring?
Oh, definitely shark then. I'd rather be in a boxing ring with the shark, for yeah, sure.
Absolutely. I changed my answer.
What about a tank full of bamboo?
A shark could barely hit you with those flippers. And the gloves would just make it that much easier to take.
A little tiny boxing glove, boxing glove on every tooth?
Unless, it depends on the way that they introduce the animal to the boxing ring. If they drop it from like 20 feet above... 30-foot long great white would probably cover a lot bigger area and have a better chance of squashing me. In that case, it'd be the gorilla. But there's a lot of criteria here you got to consider.
And how close are you to the shore? You know, if I can run 10 feet and I'm away from the shark, then I pick the shark.
Yeah.
Ah, shark, run away. But I think in general, I'm more scared of a shark than I am of a gorilla.
What about a gorilla wearing a fez? What about a gorilla in clown makeup?
Now we're talking about really scary. The fez actually would make me less scared. The fez, I would be like, that's a cool gorilla.
But the clown makeup, I'd be now, like, it's Gacy.
Is he just wearing? It's Gacy, John Wayne Gacy.
They had a Gacy factor to the whole thing. And how about a gorilla with shark teeth?
Okay, moving on.
A shark gorilla.
TM, anybody from Sci-Fi Channel tries to steal that idea, I'm suing.
The monkey to the chimp. All night long they chatter away.
All day long they were happy and gay, swinging and singing in their honky-tonky way.
Abba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba means monk I love but you.
Babba-dabba-dab and monkey talk means chimp I love you too.
Then the big baboon one night in June, he married them, and very soon they went upon their abba-dabba honeymoon.
Way down in the Congo land lived a happy chimpanzee. She loved a monkey with a long tail. Lordy, how she loved him. Each night he would find her there swinging in the coconut tree. And the monkey gay at the break of day loved to hear his chimpy say. Abba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba, said the chimpy to the monkey. Abba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba, said the monkey to the chimp. All night long they chatter away.
And all day long they were happy and gay, swinging and singing in a honky-tonky-tonk-tonk way.
Abba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba means monk I love but you.
Babba-dabba-dab and monkey talk means chimp I love you too.
Then the big baboon one night in June, he married them, and very soon they went up on their abba-dabba honeymoon.
In the news.
I'm not doing it.
No, I'm not.
Travis was a chimp actor. And he had appeared in several television commercials, such as for Coca-Cola and Old Navy. And he was on the Maury Povich Show.
All right.
Oh, wow.
So he's got a pretty good resume, better than mine.
I don't know. He wasn't on Stargate.
Yeah, and he, you know what? I mean, he's got a niche.
And my guess is he's not a good vocal actor as you are.
Depends on the role. He was able to open doors using keys. He could dress himself. He watered plants. He ate at the table with the rest of the family, drank wine from a stemmed glass. He logged onto the computer to look at pictures.
Porn.
Monkey porn. And brushed his teeth using a water pick.
What would be monkey porn? Would be people rolling around in a big pile of bananas?
Would it be like naked female monkeys? Oh. Or apes, sorry.
In high heels.
Walking on his balls.
Didn't expect that.
Yeah, walking on his... My God, they're hanging low.
So in 2003, Travis escaped from the owner's car and held up traffic at a busy intersection. For several hours... The incident began when a young man threw something at the car that went through the half-open window and struck Travis while they were stopped at a traffic light. You know the term ape shit?
Yeah, I'm familiar with
he
it.
He went officially ape shit. This is where the term comes from.
So absolutely. Travis unbuckled his seatbelt, opened the car door, and went after the man, but did not catch him.
You can run away from a monkey, from an ape. You can run away from an ape.
Well, when police arrived, they lured the chimpanzee into the car several times, only to have Travis let himself out of another door and occasionally chase the officers around the car.
Who was this, the Keystone Cops?
Pretty much. But then in 2009, it gets much, much worse.
I think I know which story is coming up next.
Travis suddenly and viciously attacked a friend of his owner.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, I heard this one.
Grievously mauled the human, blinding her. While severing her nose, ears, both hands, and severely lacerating her face.
I'm telling you, those chimps, they like to take off your nose and your hands.
The owner, then 70 years old, attempted to stop Travis by hitting him with a shovel and stabbing him with a butcher knife. However, this only made the animal angrier. She called 911. Have you guys heard this 911 call?
No.
No.
Oh, God. It's horrible.
I'm assuming
it's absolutely horrible.
I'm assuming we're going to put it on the website.
So she called 911 and police arrived and Travis walked up with the police car and tried to open it. Smashed her side view mirror, couldn't open it because it was locked. Then he went calmly around to the driver's side door and opened it, at which point officer shot him several times.
Yeah, at that stage of the game, probably covered in blood.
So he kind of strolled back to his place in the house and just kind of collapsed and died. The victim underwent more than 7 hours of surgery on her face and hands by four teams of surgeons. And then she went on Oprah.
I remember seeing the photos. It's gruesome.
Did they give her a new face? Does she have a replacement face?
Prosthetic
face?
They successfully reattached her jaw and were able to basically...
Successfully reattached her jaw.
We're pretty good, yeah.
I'm guessing that her jaw was then unattached at one point.
But she was, she'd be blind for life.
Oh, God, reattached. I can't get past reattaching her jaw.
That's not, certainly not the worst of it. They had to basically make a mouth for her.
Yeah, well, once your jaw's gone, yeah, absolutely. There's nothing to hold the bottom half on.
Yeah, so she went on Oprah in November 11th, 2009 and made her face public.
There you go.
Oh, I should never have looked.
There's before. There's after.
No.
That's very caustic.
That could have been you standing outside that door with five chimps behind
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly. And it would have been just a footnote on a podcast.
This is the truth behind Every Which Way But Loose.
Yeah.
You don't keep apes as pets.
Not advised by Jane Goodall. Did you hear about the gorilla escaping his pen in 2007 in the Netherlands?
No.
No.
It's not as gruesome, but it's not good. The silverback gorilla, who was 11 years old, leaped a 4-meter moat.
Leaped or leapt?
I think they're both correct.
Leaped it.
That's not correct.
Oh, and ran amok in the zoo restaurant and attacked a woman, dragged her for tens of meters and inflicted bone fractures and more than 100 bite wounds.
But she kept her nose, her jaw, and her hands. So I'm thinking she's ahead of the game. She considered herself lucky.
The facial attacks a chimp thing, isn't it? The chimps go for faces.
Oh,
and I'm guessing back. Gorillas don't.
But the lady, it emerged later, has visited the ape almost every day. Since the ape's arrival at the zoo. This is in Rotterdam.
So she was a groupie.
She was an ape groupie.
And she got paid back with a beating and a biting.
She would smile at the ape, being the ape groupie. mm-hmm. that she was. But of course...
And make eye contact with him.
And make eye contact with him.
And so it was like a challenge to his authority?
Yeah, exactly. So if you're a silverback gorilla and people are baring their teeth and looking at you.
Right in the eyes. Well,
that's clearly threat display.
That's officially stepping to you in the jungle.
Smiling is very human. Like you're baring your teeth. You are...
Right.
It's so a threat. Close to a threat to almost every other animal, yeah.
She had a habit of touching the glass that separated her from the gorillas while making eye contact with Bokito, the name of the ape, mm-hmm. and smiling to him, a practice that is discouraged by primatologists as apes are likely to interpret human smiling as a form of aggressive display.
There you go.
Zoo employees had previously warned her against doing this, but she continued, claiming a special bond with him. In an interview with De Telegraaf, she said, "If I laugh at him, he laughs back."
Yeah. If I bare my teeth at him, he bares them back at me.
And then escapes and beats me to a pulp in the restaurant.
They are both misinterpreting what the other is doing.
I'm pretty impressed, actually, that he, like, hunted her down. He, like, went out and found her and gave her a thrashing.
She came every day for how long?
Since the ape's arrival.
A year and a half. So every day for a year and a half and would basically make what he saw as a threat display every day.
I can leap this moat.
He was ready to get her on day one. But he just had to, he was in Alcatraz style, had to dig his way out with a spoon or something.
So the week after Bokito's escape, a local health insurance company sponsored the production of 2,000 Bokito Kikers, Bokito Viewers in English, paper visors which disguise the direction of the wearer's gaze.
Oh, I saw these.
The visors were designed by an advertising agency which won a Bronze Lion for promotional material at the 2008 Cannes Lions International Advertising Festival. I'm just pronouncing them the way I want to.
Well, I was about to say, exactly what language you pronouncing that in? That was a...
And a Eurobest Silver at the 2007 Eurobest European Advertising Festival.
Oh my God, these look so stupid. To the listener, they're like 3D glasses. They're like the old school style 3D glasses. The paper
looks
ones.
Looks like you're looking up to
only,
the left.
There are eyes painted on the front of it that are looking up and to the left. In a non-threatening fashion.
Great.
And evidently you can see right through them.
We should get some of these and give them out to listeners who win trivia contests.
Yes, absolutely. Like
if we ever do live shows, the audience has to wear these or else we interpret they're watching as some kind of threat.
No.
Don't you fucking look at me!
Every guest from now on has to wear these in order to be on... To be on the show.
Thanks for coming. Better. Here's your Bokito.
We wear them and
kickers.
The guests don't.
Don't look Mike. Yeah. Listen, wear these. Don't look Mike directly in the eye. Yeah. He thinks you are judging his technical prowess.
You know, the next
he will
time...
leap over the table and bite your face off.
So the word Bokito proof came to mean durable enough to resist the actions of an enraged gorilla. And when was voted the Dutch language, Woord van het jaar, word of the year for 2007. Any other ape news? Oh, yeah, National Gorilla Suit Day, January 31st.
Yep, before
Mad Magazine, right?
Before this episode, I had no idea it existed.
Me either, yeah.
That just to show you how widespread the movement is. But yeah, it started out with some character got mobbed by gorillas, and then people started dressing up as gorillas to celebrate it or something. We're at a complete loss.
Gorilla Suit Day is an expensive day.
Unless you own a gorilla suit. It's like owning a tuxedo, right? You just, every time you wear it, you amortize the cost over all those years. It's an investment that just keeps giving back, right?
I think it was made by the Gorilla Suit Company.
It's like Hallmark inventing Valentine's Day. And, of course, you got to open up pop culture with King Kong. I mean, there's no bigger ape pop culture reference.
Have you guys seen have you guys seen all four movies?
No.
Wait, four movies? 1930s, 1970s. All three movies.
Yeah, three.
Weren't there a couple of sequels, like King Kong versus the
Well, there's
Godzilla.
King Kong versus Godzilla and,
yeah,
stuff, and stuff like that.
But yeah,
you don't count that.
You know what? Now that you mention it, I have seen all three.
You saw the 70s one with the dude?
Yeah, and with, what's her name?
It was Jessica Lange.
Oh, could be.
Or was it Jessica Lange?
And it was Jeff Bridges?
Yep.
Yeah, that's one. I've seen it. Yep, not very good.
I like your style, King Kong.
That was a little too creepy. I thought the setup in the Peter Jackson version was way too long. It needed to get to the point a lot quicker, much like the original.
There was about two Tyrannosauruses too many movie.
I didn't mind the Tyrannosauruses because at least it was action. I just hated the 40-minute boat ride to open the movie.
I did love...
Naomi Watts.
Oh, Naomi Watts. Naomi Watts is... She just lit up the screen.
There was some good acting.
And she was great.
She was excellent in it, but she also just every single scene, you just watch her and just go, wow. Look at that. She is amazingly good looking.
I thought she did a really good job of, because you know that she's emoting to a green screen, right? And that she did a really good job of actually.
Well, didn't they have Andy Serkis on like a ladder?
Yeah, still, it's not a giant ape that you're supposed to be interacting with, right?
And it's also the kind of role that you could just do completely wrong. Like you could make decisions that are terrible.
No, she was the best thing about the movie by far.
It's wonderful when stunningly good looking women are also super talented.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I'm kind of sick and tired of us promoting just hot women who aren't any good at anything except being hot.
No, you're not.
But I said kind of.
I did like the CGI. I didn't think the CGI took you out of the moment, right? Yeah. They did a really good job on, especially when they did the massive close-ups on his face and like all the articulated hair and stuff like that, which anybody who knows anything about CGI knows that that's incredibly difficult to do, right? So I got to give them the double thumbs up on the CGI.
Which is why when you're watching the original 1930s,
the stop motion stuff.
Are all out of place all the time. Yeah. It's like someone has a blow dryer behind them.
So the only real failure, was the 1970s version.
I watched that as a young lad in the 70s. Terrified me.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I was way too young to see that. Especially the worst parts were the rolling the log.
Okay.
And all the people were falling into the chasm.
Yeah, right.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
That was great.
Wow. Are you afraid of falling?
Kind of.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
And it's also very much, it's not an instant death, but it's a, there's nothing you can do. Death.
Yeah. It's an impending death.
It's just, there's nothing you can do, but try to balance and you're probably not going to do it. And he's eventually just going to throw the log down and you're screwed.
You're done.
And then as he was trudging through the city, stepping on the crowd and all the squirming bodies underneath his footprints.
Oh, yeah. Congo,
I watched this week in anticipation.
No,
horrible.
2 hours, you'll never get back.
It was terrible.
Yeah, don't watch Congo.
Nothing good about that movie.
Here's your warning. Don't watch it. Terrible.
I started watching it. They introduced the first gorilla.
Yeah.
The little friendly gorilla.
Mm-hmm.
The young gorilla. I was like, oh my God, are you kidding me? This is going to be like a one scene gorilla, right? We're not going to see this horrible, horrible guy in a suit, which I felt bad for the rest of his movie. Because he's out in the hot jungle in this gorilla suit.
Oh, man.
And having recently worn a space suit in Richmond for like a day.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I'm never doing that again.
And the guy's like, man, this is it. This is going to, my career is just going to break
wide open. Take off. I'm going to be
this gorillas. This movie's huge. Multi-million dollar movie. And I am in it in almost every scene.
Anyway, it was terrible.
Yeah.
But
I watched it at the end, which surprised me.
Didn't you IMDb it beforehand to know that it was terrible?
Yeah.
You knew going in that it was going to be terrible.
This is the sacrifices I make for this podcast.
Yeah. Wow, he took a bullet. I didn't watch the whole thing.
But I also watched Gorillas in the Mist, which was not a terrible movie.
No, yeah, it's a good movie.
Yeah.
And
it had real gorillas in it, which I was kind of surprised about.
Now, did you watch MVP?
No, I didn't watch
Most Valuable Primate.
Here's time for my MVP story, right?
Okay, let's do it.
MVP, Most Valuable Primate, is a hockey-playing monkey, right? That's the premise of the movie. It's from the same company that made Air Bud, the basketball-playing dog, right? So it's a logical leaping-off point. Anyway, so they had this scene where he had to stick handle all the way up the ice. He couldn't keep the puck on his stick. They could make him skate.
Right.
They taught a monkey how to skate. They taught a monkey how to stick handle.
But they can't cure the common cold.
They could teach him how to hold the stick properly, but they couldn't teach him to actually stick handle, to keep the puck on the stick and skate all the way up the ice, right?
So they had to tape the puck to the...
So what they do is they glued the puck to the stick.
Right.
Right? But because he'd done so many takes where he would start skating and the puck would take off, he knew that that was what was supposed to happen, right?
Oh.
So he started skating and he got about 3 strides in it when the puck didn't fly off the stick. He became enraged and started to swing it around, trying to dislodge the puck and smashing it on the ground.
And that makes him the most valuable primate.
And he flung the stick and so everybody, he was getting very agitated with the puck stuck to the stick. So
right.
I don't know what the ultimate solution ended up being. They probably CGI'd the puck
into it.
I would
probably do the same thing in that situation.
Oh my God, they made a sequel.
Oh, of course they did.
MVP 2, Most Vertical Primate.
Skateboarding Monkey.
Skateboarding Ape.
You don't remember USA Network? They may ever have that at any point in time in their lives.
I know of it. The Duckman was on USA Network, wasn't it?
They used to do these little like interstitials with talking apes recreating scenes from famous movies.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
And my roommate at the time, Davey, loved them.
Oh, I gotta go. They're gonna play the...
No, he didn't. We never prepared for it, but whenever it came on, he would start to like...
Shut up!
Even like, yeah, exactly. And he starts to giggle like a schoolgirl. Monkeys are on, shut up! And he would giggle like a schoolgirl.
Did you correct him and point out they were apes?
You couldn't get a word in edgewise.
I'm sure, yeah. He's far smarter than I am, so he probably would... I'd say, stupid monkeys, like, they're apes, you idiot!
You don't appreciate these apes.
I think there's some alternative world where apes rule and they have, like, interstitials of humans going, ook, 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 ook.
Yeah, Planet of the Apes.
Oh, nice. Nice segue. Planet of the Apes, outstanding movie. The first one, anyway.
The first one, yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen three of them. I've seen the first three.
I think I've
seen... Planet of the Apes, Battle...
Return of the Planet of the Apes.
Return of the Planet of the Apes.
With the weird psychic guys underground. Yeah,
no, wasn't that Battle Beneath the Planet of the Apes? With
beneath the Planet
guys?
Of the Apes?
That was Battle Beneath the Planet of the Apes. Return...
Quick, to the internet.
I have seen several of the Planet of the Apes movies as a young man.
Right.
And remembered loving them all. But the only one that I've seen again as an adult is the first one.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, from everything you hear, whatever, it's the only one worth watching.
A pretty decent soundtrack, too, as I recall.
Yeah, and didn't it win an Academy Award for its prosthetic makeup?
Well, of course. How could it not?
Was that the first ever award for prophetic makeup?
Academy Awards, honorary award for outstanding makeup achievement.
Oh, so it wasn't an official award.
Nominated for best costume design and best score.
There you go, Jerry Goldsmith.
Yeah. So here we go. Sequels. Beneath the Planet of the Apes in 1970, Escape from the Planet of the Apes 1971, Conquest of the Planet of the Apes 1972, and Battle for the Planet of the Apes 1973. I'm pretty sure Beneath was the one with the psychic.
I've seen some of the episodes from the cartoon Return to the Planet of the Apes.
Mm.
Not great.
Well, the 1975 animated television series.
Yeah.
Now, which was the one...
Recipe for Disaster.
Which was the one where the apes went back in time and were living with us? Do you guys remember this one?
No.
The apes, of course, the big spoiler alert in Planet of the Apes at the end is he sees the Statue of Liberty and finds that he's not on a different planet. He's on our planet where apes have taken over.
Millions of years in the future.
But in one of the Planet of the Apes movies, the two main chimps, I can't remember their names, but they end up somehow going back in time.
Yes, I think that was either the second or the third one.
And it also seemed to just allow them to tell all sorts of different kinds of wacky stories without, you know, having the studio go, why is this story being fantastic like this? And the answer is like, come on, we got talking monkeys.
Well, apes, actually.
Now we've
good one, Kevin.
Now we've all corrected each other.
All right. I got it in right before the end.
Tim Burton's Planet of the Apes with Marky Mark.
You know what? I like Marky Mark. I like Tim Roth. I like Tim Burton. I like Helena Bonham Carter. I like every element of this movie, but I hated this movie. I look at it on paper, and it should have been a winning formula, and it wasn't.
And they didn't even use the right joke at the end. Like spoiler alert, Mark Wahlberg, quote, heads back to, and then he thinks he's back in Washington, D.C., and then he goes up to one of the monuments, and it's the Abraham Lincoln Memorial, but finds out that it is actually, in fact, the Abraham Lincoln Memorial. It's Abraham Lincoln with an ape head on him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they never said Abraham Lincoln. Much, much funnier.
You wanted the pun.
How about comic books? Gorilla Grodd.
Gorilla Grodd, of course, the enemy of the Flash with his mental powers from Gorilla City. One of the members of the Legion of Doom in the Super Friends cartoon.
Absolutely. I'm a big fan of Gorilla Grodd in the HeroClix gaming system.
Oh, okay. He's got a good stats.
Well, he's high score and his mind control, which is an awesome power.
Right.
Do you remember the Red Ghost from the Fantastic Four?
No.
Fantastic Four villain, and he experimented with cosmic rays as well, and he had Miklo the Gorilla, Igor the Baboon, and Piotr the Orangutan, and they all had different powers a la the Fantastic Four.
Oh, but they were all apes.
Yeah. Then there's Kreegoff, War Ape, series of bionically enhanced talking gorillas created by Nazi scientist Hermann von Klemmt in Hellboy.
Yeah, you got Hellboy, you got Nazis.
Now, of course, there's also from the World Wildlife Federation of Justice, Gorilla, the speedster ape.
World Wildlife Federation of Justice created by Torrin Atkinson?
Yes.
Soon to be a Mutants and Mastermind source book?
That's right.
Where can people find stories from the World Wildlife Federation of Justice universe?
In a couple of local comics, like Cloudscape Comics, Histrionics,
right,
which has the origin of Nosferatu. And in Fun Day Sunnies, they have Gorilla fighting Elk Diablo.
Nice.
With the help of General Woodcock's wholesome flax pies.
And Gorilla is the ultra speedy.
Yes.
Gorilla.
He was a member of the Simian Squad, as was Orangutangler.
Nice. And what is Orangutangler's power?
Well, he's got, tangly powers. Oh. It's not evident from the name, Kevin.
Hey, but you put a G in that.
Oh my goodness, he did. So it should be Orangutanler.
Orangutanler. I can put G's in it if I want. Screw you guys.
He was just able to shoot UV rays, make you slightly darker.
That's right.
Pew, pew, pew.
Do you guys remember the Primate Patrol?
No.
Who are Nazi gorillas from Weird War Tales and Tales in the Unexpected?
This sounds like a comic from like 1942.
Well, the 50s, actually, I think. There's a picture, which we're looking at right now.
Yeah, it's great.
From Secret Origins comic. Here's the origin of Gorilla Grodd and Kong Gorilla and Detective Chimp. There was some sort of study which figured out what boosts sales on a comic book cover. Apes will always boost sales. Someone riding a motorcycle will always boost sales.
And dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs will always boost sales.
It doesn't seem like they're thematically oriented, the topic.
And perhaps
at all.
A question that's answered inside will boost sales?
That might.
Why
that
is might. This chimp crying?
So this issue of Secret Origins has all of those elements.
The
on
pandering.
Do you guys remember the JL Ape crossover?
No.
Through various 1999 annuals of the Justice League of America members series? In which a bomb planted by inhabitants of Gorilla City turned the United Nations and the League into gorillas.
Oh, wow.
Oh, nice.
And then, not to be outdone, Marvel Apes, a new Marvel miniseries in which the Gibbon is transported into an alternate Earth where all the superheroes have simian counterparts.
Oh, it's like a Bizarro World, but ape
with
world.
Apes, yeah. It's ridiculous. And therefore awesome. Donkey Kong.
Of course. Throwing barrels at Mario.
And Rampage.
And stealing ladies. Oh, Rampage, the monster one where you knock down buildings as a giant King Kong or Godzilla or...
I like that.
I got one literary reference I can throw in here.
Okay.
Murders in the Rue Morgue by Poe.
Edgar Allan Poe.
Edgar Allan Poe.
And even talking about it, this podcast is a huge spoiler if you haven't read the story.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, I'm going to throw it right from the get-go.
There's an ape in there. Let's just say that.
There's a big spoiler here. But this story is total bullshit, right? This is like an episode of Scooby-Doo where there's no way you could have figured out what the thing was at the end. But then they get chased by the monster and blah, blah, blah. And at the end, you know, Velma comes up and is like, don't you remember when we saw that newspaper in the other room and it gave this hint and all this stuff that wasn't even revealed in the whole thing?
Right.
That's what Murders in the Rue Morgue is. There's absolutely no way you could have known what was coming. It was just at the end. Oh, guess what? There was an ape, an orangutan breaking into people's houses and killing them. And I knew this because of, I heard about the escaped orangutan from the circus and blah, 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 and yada, yada, yada. It's a bullshit story. Don't bother. Don't waste your time.
Poe, what a hack.
Yeah, total. Edgar Allan Poe, hack.
So we've also got The Librarian of the Unseen University in Terry Pratchett's Discworld novels. In one of the, he starts off as a
what
human.
Is he?
He's an orangutan.
Oh, okay. Orangutan.
He starts off as a human wizard, but gets turned via some crazy wild magic into an orangutan. And, after all the wild magic's gone, they offer to turn him back, and he likes it that way. And they get him to do tasks by handing him bananas.
TV shows / cartoons. Magilla Gorilla. The protagonist spent his time languishing in the front display window of Mr. Peebles' pet shop, eating bananas and being a drain on the businessman's finances. Mr. Peebles marked down Magilla's price considerably, but Magilla was invariably only purchased for a short time, typically by some thieves who needed a gorilla to break into a bank. Or by an advertising agency looking for a mascot for their new product. The customers always ended up returning Magilla, forcing Mr. Peebles to refund their money. Magilla often ended each episode with his catchphrase, "We'll try again next week."
How about Grape Ape?
Grape Ape, Grape Ape. He was huge. He was a giant
And
purple gorilla.
If you couldn't already tell from the title.
It's a little on the nose.
Yeah.
It's like they came up with, hey, grape rhymes with ape. Maybe why don't we make a cartoon about a purple
I'm sure ape. They came up with the name before they came up with the show.
Yeah, there's definitely. Not much to the show, really. There's
no.
It doesn't have that
ape magic that. We're used to.
Does anybody, the theme song was awesome, but I can't remember it now.
Do you remember the Ghostbusters? Not the real Ghostbusters.
Yeah, the one.
But the early Ghostbusters? Which had a guy in a gorilla suit in the live action, and then they did the cartoon series. Tracy was the name of the gorilla in that series. 1970s live action TV series and later a Filmation cartoon series.
Oh my God. I didn't know that was based on a live action TV series.
Yeah, I've seen an episode. It's worse than the cartoon.
And was it called The Ghostbusters?
Yeah.
Okay, so did the good movie actually take that name from them or do they not know about it? Or
there's a whole convoluted story about the name, which I'm sure Stewie could tell you about if he was here. But
yeah.
Stewie from our episode.
Perfect Murder.
Perfect Murder. Mojo Jojo from the Powerpuff Girls. Mojo Jojo.
I never watched Powerpuff Girls.
Never.
I know
you guys are missing out because it's a great cartoon series.
Okay.
I've heard that before, but it's...
Curses! He was heard to say many a time. Next time on Caustic Soda.
Can I swear on this podcast?
You sure can.
It's a gosh darn screw up on every level.
Wait, which one was Enduring Freedom?
Enduring Freedom was Afghanistan.
The freedom just keeps enduring.
You're an android. That's what's wrong with you. You're a synth.
Ian Holm wouldn't have cried on my shoulder.
Oh, Ian Holm would cry in my lap. I'd like stroke his hair.
Yeah, no, the hanging's just the icing on the humiliation cake.
He's Joe Fulgham.